Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This morning, the first murder victim in Boston of the new year was laid to rest in Mattapan. He was 24-year-old Alex DeSote of Dorchester. He was killed in a shooting last week as he sat in a car with three other people. They were all injured. Police say that the shooting appears to have been targeted, not random. No arrests have been made at this point. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has been following this story and joins us now. Bruce, who was Alex DeSote?
He was 24 years old, as you mentioned. He came from a very large family. There were 10 children who were all born here in the States. His parents were from Cape Verde. They live in a very rough and a very tough neighborhood in Boston. He became a star basketball player. He was really a terrific athlete, tenacious, and played point guard. He would start on the team at Roxbury Community College later on, and he actually his last game out in December, he scored 10 points.
He also, though, had a criminal past, including when he was in high school.
Yeah. In about 2008, he and three friends had a BB gun. They went down to Quincy and started assaulting and robbing people. They were arrested. He was allegedly the ringleader. And while he was awaiting sentencing, Alex spent his entire junior year in high school in jail for bail violations on an earlier marijuana arrest and his inability to make bond for the robberies and the assaults.
Okay. And you spoke not long after his death, to some of his family members, including his sister. You went to their home in Dorchester.
Yeah.
What did she say?
I spoke to his sister, Christina DeSote, for the story, and she said that the time that he spent in jail really transformed her brother's life.
He knew what he had to do after that. He said, I don't want to go back there. I have a love for basketball, and that's my passion. That's what I want to do. He came out a different man. And one of his friends said, he applied basketball to chemistry. I didn't understand how he did that.
Really, really intelligent guy, very good student. You spoke with Christina not only about her brother Alex's death, but about the death of another brother.
Well, actually, four brothers, all of them are shot at one point. One of the brothers,
one
of them dies. One of them is shot 11 times in two separate incidents. So this is a rough neighborhood. And the one who died was his oldest brother, Luis. He was trying to break up a fight across the street from the family home. And he was struck in the heart by a bullet.
And she tried to give him CPR.
Yeah, really. It was horrible, but it really, really hit Alex hard. You might say that a part of him died. He winds up dropping out of school. And later on, he would write this. I felt a part of me slip away like the smoke that quickly rises and disappears on a candle that has been put out. I became fearless, not caring if I was shot or killed.
Here's something that happened, though, very important in his story. He was in the process of really turning his life around.
Yeah, he winds up getting into college, but he can't serve because he's got to go to prison for the assault. And he does great in high school. He's a scholar. He's a terrific athlete. He's a MVP of the team. He's co-captain of his basketball team, straight A's and B's. But he can't go to school. And the judge acknowledges the fact that she's sending him away. But he goes away for nearly 2 years, comes back and enrolls in RCC, Roxbury Community College, and starts on the team and is doing great in school. And then this happened.
All right, Bruce. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, who's been reporting on the death of Alex DeSote, the first murder victim in Boston this year. The 24-year-old DeSote had been in prison, as we said, for armed robbery. When he got out, as Bruce said, he enrolled in Roxbury Community College. He got very good grades. He accomplished much of what he did with the help and encouragement of a so-called violence interrupter. Arthur Kitty himself became a violence interrupter in 2012. He attended Alex DeSote's funeral earlier today. Arthur, thank you for coming into Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
You worked indirectly with Alex DeSote, I know, but you can tell us a little bit about where he was in his efforts to pull himself together again and to change his life. Describe what he was doing.
He was putting forth every effort needed to propel himself forward mentally, physically. I think he was definitely headstrong about basketball.
Headstrong, meaning he knew he was good?
Absolutely. You know, that was his ticket.
it was his ticket, or at least he was hoping it would be his ticket.
Absolutely. That was his freedom. When he was on the basketball court, he was free to do as he pleased, the way he wanted to, within the structure of the game.
Okay, so I imagine the job for a violence interrupter like you would be to what? To encourage somebody like that, to provide, you know, whatever logistics they needed? What's the role there that you play?
It's definitely to encourage. Repetition and reinforcement breeds a greater understanding. So every day, you know, there's a moment to teach. We find those moments to teach.
Like what?
Anything, like using a basketball for an example. I mean, just the effort that you put forth. And I think that word effort just sticks out to me in this question particularly. He was putting forth the effort needed to get better in basketball. He put forth the effort needed to become a better person.
So what's the role that a violence interrupter like you plays?
We intervene in violent situations. You know, there's this gram. We have at-risk, high-risk, and proven-risk youth and young adults between the age of 14 and 24.
14 to 24, that's a large span.
Indeed it is.
So the needs are really great through that period.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the adolescent stage, you know, where individuals are really striving to find their autonomy. And growing up in hostile situations, whether it's socioeconomical circumstances or the decisions that people make, they need guidance. And I think to a degree we provide a certain level of guidance.
So you're kind
support.
Of counselor, friend,
counselor,
coach.
Mentor, support. Coach.
All of it.
Big brother. Little brother, even sometimes in given certain situations and circumstances, because they teach us so much.
They teach you so much, but you, I would think, would come in with a certain amount of credibility because you spent time in prison yourself.
I don't think prison lends to my credibility. I think the effort that I put forth in striving to make a wrong situation right is what lends my credibility.
And your own work with some of these people as a violence interrupter, it's personal. I mean, I would tell me how the death of somebody like Alex, even though you didn't work with him specifically, how that affects you and the other people around him.
Well, Alex was a very like a light bulb, you know. I mean, he was shining. You know, as many people have already attested before, his personality, he loved life. You know, he loved life, and it was radiant. And I think that I want people to, you know, keep that light shining.
But how do you do that in this case? I mean, look, we have a guy who had, you know, toward the end, everything going for him, and he was doing what, I think you said this earlier, he was doing what his teachers wanted him to do, what his coaches asked him to do, the one violence interrupter who was working with him asked him to do, and then something goes wrong. We don't know if he was the target of the shooting, but he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we don't know if he was unable to extricate himself from the forces that were drawing him toward criminal activity before. He seemed to be doing very well. So what happens to that momentum?
We have to pick it up and just recognize again the effort that he put forth. And I don't know, that word is just sticking in right now.
The effort.
Effort. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to put forth effort. If we want to see a better place, we have to put forth effort. If your teacher tells you to, you know, as you said, the teacher, the coach, the community is telling you to put forth that effort, I think that's the key word. Everyone, man, woman, child.
And Bruce, you have a question.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that. At least they established a scholarship fund for in Alex's name at his alma mater at English High, and for a kid who is putting forth the effort, who is showing that they want to break out, who wants to turn their life around. I got to tell you, I don't spend much time in Roxbury, Mattapan, and Dorchester, but it is a tough place, and it is tough to break out of. And this kid, by all accounts, had done that. And now the question is, you know, what are these other kids? Are we going to look at him? What message do they take away?
Arthur, what do you think?
It's tough. It's a tough loss. It's a very tough loss.
But they turn around and say, you know, here's a kid who was making it, and now he's dead.
Arthur, is it the kind of thing where you know, a friend of his could say, look, that's the reason why I should be having a gun. You know, that's why I should protect myself.
Truthfully, that's the reason why a lot of, you know, young people throughout this country carrying a gun. It's a thin line between being a victim and a victimizer, a very thin line. The hurt and pain that you feel, and there's no one to coach you through that in those moments when you really need it. And I think to answer your initial question, that's where we come in.
Yeah.
You know, our consistency, always being there. It doesn't even have to be a planned event. Just being there is pivotal. Most of us grew up with an abandonment of a plethora of issues. And it's kind of hard to articulate your feelings when you don't even know how to. You have to identify. You know, there's a cause and effect for everything. And I think we just have to identify, and I encourage them to identify the talent that they have, what they bring to the world.
Can I just ask you one more question? When you're facing this, I know this period when someone's making the transition from a bad background to a strong, good future is kind of a pivotal period. So for you, like, how do you keep your hopes up when you invest a lot in somebody like this?
When you hear stories from the parents, when you hear stories from the siblings, when you hear stories from the community, and they talk about the positive things, you know, for every one person that gets shot, there are 10 people that don't.
That's
and
a really
more
important
times
point.
Than not, those stories aren't told.
Yeah.
And a strong, resilient community. He comes from a strong, resilient community. I think the backlash should be a positive one. Positive one that hopeful. Everyone puts forth the effort needed to stabilize and bring some level of harmony in our community. It's much needed. It's much needed.
Arthur, thanks.
Thank you.
Arthur Kitty works as a violence interrupter in Boston. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman, thank you.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Stay with us. Still ahead, more on Boston's Olympic gamble. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.